morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you, and thank you for having me. I suspect when I say that to the congregation, they have had nothing to do with the guest in the pulpit, but it's still a great joy to be with you, and thank you to Dion for inviting me. Yesterday, we spent part of the day looking at the book of Proverbs, and I spoke about the topic of biblical wisdom. And I said this morning that I would continue looking at the book of Proverbs and see what we can learn further to what we learned yesterday. And this morning I want to speak to you about words. Words. You know, there are all sorts of songs about words. Words don't come easily. And so on. And you've heard them all. Okay? But words are very important. They actually form a very large part of our lives. I wonder if you were to think back over your life and you were to assess how often, how many words you have spoken, how often you speak, how often I speak. And so that they actually make up so much about who we are and what we are. And I don't think we always realize that. Well, it's an amazing gift that God has given us. I mean, it's amazing that I can stand up here this morning and speak to you. And I can communicate ideas. You can comprehend them. You can understand them. If I stood here this morning and I just kept quiet and we looked at each other, what would there be? What would life be without words? You can't almost comprehend it. And in actual fact, that is right. Because God intended words to be very much part of our whole lives. And in actual fact, words form the very foundation of all human experience. Words form the foundation of all human experience. And so that I can only have a relationship with you once I've spoken to you. There's got to be some communication. And so all human relationships are word-based. I mean, if I phone you, for instance, the phone rings, you pick up the phone, and you hear nothing. You don't know. You may, these days you've got ID callers, so you can say, okay, Des is on the other end. But I don't say a word to you. You see, I can't have a relationship with you in that sense because I first need to communicate. The minute I start speaking to you, you get to know me. You listen to the tone of my voice. You listen to the words that I speak. You listen to everything that I'm saying. And as you take all of that in, you're getting to know me. But what I'm also doing is I'm revealing myself to you. You know, the minute you speak, you open yourself up to other people. You open yourself up to a relationship. And so it is important for us to speak to one another. And God has created us in that way. And the reason why God has created us to speak is because God speaks. You see, we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. God is not a dumb God like the idols, says Isaiah. You know, in the book of Isaiah, you get this picture of people worshipping idols, but they can't speak. They can't say a word. They've been crafted by the hands of men, and yet they cannot say a single word. And they can't hear, and they can't see. But God can do all of those things. But you know, the very first thing, well, let me say this. One of the first things we learn about God in the Bible is that he speaks. Because it says in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says this, and God said, let there be light. So that God actually created the world by speaking. His words were so powerful that when he spoke, what he commanded happened. That's how powerful words can be. Words are incredible things. And so that we need to be very careful. And that is why our relationship with God is based on words. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, Israel is told that when they came to Mount Sinai and God called them to give them the Ten Commandments, the Lord says to them, you didn't see the form of any image. There was lightning, there was thunder, there was darkness, there was smoke. But you never saw the form of an image. And it says this in verse 11 of chapter 4. It says, you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sounds of words, but you saw no form. There was only a voice. There was only a voice. And you see, we know God today, not because we have seen God, but because we have heard. God has spoken, and God has revealed himself through his words, and it's an incredible thing, because it's a gift that he's given us. You see? And so we need to listen to the words of God. But because God is this type of God, God wants us to be like him. God wants us to speak words in the same way that he does. So that when I go to the book of Proverbs, there are over 60 proverbs about words. 60 proverbs about my tongue. You know, Martin Luther called it this little piece of flesh between the jaws. And you know, the tongue, as we've read from the book of James, is an incredible, powerful instrument. Okay? Because it's like the bit in the horse's mouth. I remember years ago I was up at Hillcrest and we had gone to a friend's home, and he kept a horse, and it was a thoroughbred. Now I don't know if you've ever stood up next to a thoroughbred horse. You know, if you stood next to a donkey or a pony, that's not a horse. But when you stand up next to these thoroughbreds, they are huge. And I mean, I'm amazed that big horse can have a little tiny jockey. And he can take that horse, and that horse can do also. If I was, this day up at Hillcrest, I was standing there, and I can't move that quickly, and this horse charged me. I've got the fright of my life. And luckily, I just got outside of the fencing in time, but it came right up, and it stood there, and I looked, and I thought to myself, incredible. And yet, that horse can be controlled by a little bit of steel in his mouth. You see? And it just takes a small spark to set a fire going. You know, the great fire in Chicago that almost burnt down the whole city was started because a woman bumped over a lamp. So all you need to do is bump over an oil lamp, could burn a city down. And James reminds us that our words are just like that. They're incredibly powerful. So what does the book of Proverbs say about words? Well, let me tell you a couple of things, and I'm going to give you some proverbs. So you may want to write these down, or even you, if you've got time to look them up in your Bible, even better as I read them to you. Now, when I go through this, you're going to discover that a lot of what I'm going to say is very practical. And it's meant to be that, and I'm going to comment on that at the very end, because you mustn't be fooled by the fact that it's practical. But the first thing I want to say about words that you learn from the book of Proverbs is that words are to be used wisely. We are not free to say what we want to say. God has given you a tongue, but you cannot say what you want to say. You've got to use your tongue wisely. You've got to use your words well. And so that the book of Proverbs says that you should use your words with restraint, sparingly. So if you look at this proverb, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, it says this. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. You see, somebody who is a person of knowledge, we are told here, uses words with restraint. Now listen to this proverb. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent. Listen to that. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. You see, the book of James goes on to tell us that we should note this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know, we had a bishop here years ago. His name was Bishop Dudley Ford. I'll never forget it. He always used to tell us, and he used to say about himself, he said, you know, I came to realize at one stage in my life that God gave me 2 ears and 1 tongue. And he said, I worked it out mathematically from that he expected me to listen twice as much as I speak. You see? Now listen to this proverb. Proverbs 17 verse 28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. You know, it's better to be quiet if you're a fool than to open your mouth and for everybody to discover that it is true. You know, we open our mouths and we give ourselves away. Immediately we talk, people can see what we are. Whether they're angry words or even if they're kind words. So be careful. Use your words with restraint. There's got to be a control over your words. You know, the great danger that we always face is we always feel we've got to have the last word. Now, you know, it's not a good time for me to confess my sins, but I tend to be like that. If I'm saying, I've got to really bite my tongue. You know, you talk about biting your tongue. I mean, if you look at me, look at my tongue, you'll see it's been bitten so often. Sorry, that's metaphorical. It's because the great problem with us is that most of us talk too much. And so, where there are many words around, you just got to speak long enough, you will get yourself into trouble. You see? And so, the Bible urges us, and the book of Proverbs urges us to restrain the use of our tongue. Proverbs 15 verse 28 says this, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. You know the old saying about, you know, you must think before you speak. Or else the old proverb that says, you know, every time you speak, you put your foot in it. Of course, some people, as you've heard, the only time that they every time they speak, all they're doing is changing feet. Okay? Because every time they do so, they put their foot in it. Okay? And so we've got to be careful of that. Proverbs 29 verse 20 says this, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is no more hope for a fool than for him. And so the book of Proverbs urges us to speak with restraint, to restrain our words. But secondly, the book of Proverbs also teaches us to speak at the right time. So, of course, that's linked to speaking with restraint. Proverbs 15, verse 23 says this, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? How good is a timely word? I don't know whether that's ever happened to you. Somebody speaks a timely word, an apt answer. And it is so wonderful because it's spoken just at the right time. So what Proverbs teaches me is not just to use the right words, but also at the right time. And you know, there are times when we've perhaps got to correct people. The Bible's not saying that we mustn't speak at all or that we must shut up completely. I mean, that would also be wrong. But what it is saying is we must speak the right words at the right time. So there are times when you need to speak to somebody about something. Something that may be sensitive. Something that may be hard for them to take. Something that may be hard for you to speak. Think about when you are going to do it. Think about when you are going to do it. You know, because I'm in the ministry and I'm a bishop, I sort of look after our ministers and I hear what goes on around the church and that. And, you know, sometimes our ministers will remain nameless. Sometimes they may, their church councils may find that there's something they've got to say to their minister. And you know, sometimes I deal with our church councils, and this is not a knock. I'm not running church councils. I'm just using this as an example. I discover that what they do is that just before Christmas, they decide to take their minister aside and giving him a long list of complaints. You see, so it comes, and Christmas Day comes, he's absolutely miserable, and then the next day he goes on leave. So I say to them, couldn't you have waited until he got back? Was it that urgent? No, they said they wanted him to think about it while he was on leave. So I said, what you're saying is you wanted to spoil his holiday. I agree with what they're saying. I agree that they should talk to him. But the book of Proverbs says that a man finds joy in an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. And sometimes that word may be a rebuke. You know, there's a very humorous proverb that says this, that, you know, you don't, it says in Proverbs 27 verse 14, it says, if a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. You know, if you came to my house at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm fast asleep and I've had a bad night and I've had a busy time, and you ring my doorbell and you shout out, Des, I love you and appreciate you. Thank God for you. I will say, get out of my life. I'm sleeping. That's not the sort of thing you say to somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? So what I'm saying is sometimes you can say things that are good and need to be said, but you haven't thought about it. You haven't thought about how it's going to impact that person. You've just allowed the words to come out, and sometimes they are so embarrassing and awkward, okay? And so, you know, you just don't do that sort of thing with your words. And so we are often guilty of saying the right thing at the wrong time. And sometimes we are guilty of saying the right thing in the wrong way. You see, we say the right thing in the wrong way. Do you know one of the things that we have to admit today, and I've discovered this, and I don't think we talk about it enough, is, you know, we live in a very angry society. But we don't only live in an angry society, we live in a very violent society. And especially here in South Africa. And you know, very often our words are angry, violent, aggressive words. Even when we are trying to say good things. And so you see, it's not just the words that we use, it's also the way that we speak, you see? And we need to speak truthful words. We need to speak words that will build people up. We should not speak obscene words. We hear a lot of obscenity today, a lot of what the Bible calls coarse joking, where our words are out of place and inappropriate and embarrassing. And you see, all the time, it's this little tongue. I haven't worked this out yet, but you know, somebody once said that you can break all the Ten Commandments with your tongue. And you work through most of those, and I'll tell you, you'll be able to find a way that you could break the Ten Commandments with your tongue. And you know, the tongue is so deceitful and so deceptive. So sometimes the tongue can, there's a proverb that says this, like a coat of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. You know, you go to one of these markets and you see an old earthenware vase. And you know that inside of it, it's the cheapest clay that you can get. But it's got glazing on it. So it looks different. But you know, when it breaks, you discover it's actually nothing. And this proverb says, like a coat of glaze on earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. You know, there are times that we speak and we put a kind of a veneer over our words just to make them look good. But they're actually evil words. And so we need to ask ourselves very much, how do we use our tongues? How do we use them to build up? What about words of gossip? You see? You know, it says this in Proverbs 26 verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. You know, if you keep throwing wood on the fire, it just keeps burning. If you stop putting wood on the fire, it'll go out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. You know, I've seen that happen in churches before where people speak about one another and they break lifelong friendships between people because of words. It's incredible. And yet, all it is what Martin Luther called this little tiny piece of flesh between the jaws. And yet, the tongue is an incredible, powerful tool. But it's for good and for evil. So if you look in the book of James, on the one hand, the one illustration that is given is of the bit and the bridle in the horse. Now that's a good thing, isn't it? Because it rains in the horse. But he also uses another illustration of a fire, and a fire destroys. And he says, with the same tongue, we praise God and we curse our neighbor. And then he asks this question, can you have both good, pure water and salt water coming out of the same fountain at the same time? And he leaves you, you know, it's rhetorical. And the answer is you can't. It's either a salt water fountain or it's pure water that can be drunk. And you know the problem, we're getting back to gossip. You know, the problem with gossip is we all love gossip. And we shroud it and say, you know, I just want you to know this so you can pray for them. You see? But Proverbs 18 verse 8 says this, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. It's like caviar. Or crayfish. You know, I love crayfish. So if you're a fisherman here, you can drop a few off and I'll collect them. But you know, when you've been eating mince and chicken and everything and then you suddenly somebody gives you a crayfish and you sit and you take that crayfish, you put that in your mouth and you say, this is food. And it's got that special taste. And you know, the thing I love about crayfish, don't mix it with mayonnaise or onion. I just want to taste the pure crayfish. Wonderful, you get that, it's like a morsel. The book of Proverbs says that's what gossip is like. And you know, you almost feel that crayfish going down. And you say, oof, I wish I could live on this. You know? But you know, you can't. So it's like juicy. It's juicy. Okay? And even rumors, you know, rumors are damaging. And they all happen with the tongue. That's where rumors emanate from. So Proverbs chapter 10 verse 18 says, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You see? And so you find that this tongue of ours can be used so powerfully, and we've got to be careful. So words have to be used sparingly, and words have great power and value, both for good and evil, as I've already said. And I've illustrated that from the horse and the fire, because it's for good and for bad. But you know your words can hurt people. You know, I don't always tell people this, but I get hurt by words. You know, if people say things about me, it hurts me. Now, I don't want you to think I'm a sort of, I support the Stormers. So I'm a real man, okay? And the Cheetahs. One lost, and the Sharks beat them yesterday. Well done. But I can tell you something now. You can be the real man, and you can think you're the big knees and the big cheese and all the rest of it, the bee's knees. But I'll tell you something, words will hurt you. What your children say to you will hurt you. What your wife says to you, what your husband says to you, it'll hurt you. You know, they say sticks and bones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. We all get hurt by words. Just remember that when you speak words and I speak, I must remember that when I speak, my words will either bring hurt or healing. You see? Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the sound and healing to the bones. Sweet to the sound and healing to the bones. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And, you know, it's an incredible thing, how that it does this. You know, Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. You know, it's amazing how your tongue can crush somebody. I've seen it. And I've actually been guilty of it. You know, you speak to your children, you crush them. You may speak to your wife, or you speak to your husband. You speak to somebody at work, you speak to somebody in the Pick and Pay. You speak to somebody in the church. You know, it's quite interesting. You know, just as an aside, to get you thinking about something, do you know that in the book of Genesis, there were two trees, and Adam was told not to eat of either of them. But he ate of the one, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there was another tree there. Can you remember what it was called? It was called the tree of life. And the Lord God said that he was going to cast man out so that he could not eat of the tree of life. Now, the next time you read about the tree of life, bar one other time in the Bible, is in the book of Revelation at the very end. And the Bible says at the end, in heaven one day, we will eat of the tree of life. But the only other place in the Bible where the phrase tree of life is used is in the book of Proverbs. So it's used in Genesis, Proverbs, and Revelation. And when it is used, it has to do with your words. I find that quite amazing. I find it quite amazing that our words have such prominence. So the book of Proverbs says in chapter 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. It's like that tree of life that we're going to eat of in heaven one day. Your tongue can bring that sort of life. But you know, your tongue can also, as I said, destroy people. And it is so dangerous that we've got to be very careful how we speak. Because the tongue, we are told in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. You know, in the Second World War, there were signs that used to be put up where people were warned about their words. Because sometimes if a person firstly spoke, and you've all seen the movies or you might have read, if a person spoke, they would have been heard. And because it was the Second World War, the Germans would have found them. Or else, if they were out in the streets and they spoke, they may have given information away that would have led the Germans to find the Allies and kill them. So in those days, words cost lives. And your words had the power of life and death. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that. Now this morning, the last thing I want to say about words, and more than likely the most important thing I'm going to say about them. Everything I've said so far is important. But what I'm going to say now is the most important. And I want you to listen, because this is the whole... You may say to me, as I said at the beginning, this seems so practical. Where's this all going? What does this all mean? Why are you talking to us about our words this morning? Why are you telling us, why are you saying to yourself, you know, you've got to be careful? I'll tell you why, and this is the important thing to learn, is this, is your words reveal your heart. My words reveal my heart. You see, Jesus said this, it is out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And if your words are bad words, then what you need is a change of heart. It's no good trying to change your words unless you change. Your life needs to change. And what Proverbs teaches me is this, is that only when I have a relationship with God will my heart change, and then will my words change. You see, James says this, it's no good for a man or a woman to say that they are religious and then they can't control their tongue. You see, if God hasn't changed my heart, it will be shown, first of all, the first port of call that everybody will pick up from is from my words. So that verse, if you're looking for it, is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that we need to understand that our words run very deep. So when I said at the very beginning that, you know, words are important because they enable us to relate and they reveal who we are. So if you hear me swearing all the time, well then you know what sort of person I am. If I'm always telling dirty jokes, and if I'm always being coarse in the way that I speak, if I'm rude to people, if I don't have any patience or etc., all of those things, what they do is those words just reveal what's going on inside of me. Because words are not just merely external. They reveal what I'm thinking, they reveal my mind and my heart. And eventually my heart will come bubbling out of my mouth, metaphorically. And that it'll be revealed in my words. You know, when I was a small kid, and some of you will be old enough to know this. Of course, today, you know, I referred to my mom yesterday. My mom is sort of an 85-year-old woman. But I can still remember as a kid, and I used to go and I used to say, I've got something. I said, Mom, I've got a sore tummy, or I've got a sore. You know what she used to always make me do? She said, let me see your tongue. Then I had to put my tongue out. Do some of you remember that? Did your moms make you do that? She looked at my tongue and she says, you need this. Some castor oil. It was always cod liver oil or something. You see? And then I don't know what my mother saw in my tongue. But somehow when she saw my tongue, she knew everything about, she knew what was wrong with me. Put your tongue out. And that's it. You done. We saved. I mean, we didn't need medical aid in those days. The tongue was sufficient. Okay? Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I want you to put your tongue out this morning. Because when I look at it, and God looks at it, and I put mine out, He'll know all about us. You see? He knows exactly what's going on. And so I want to say this to you this morning. Maybe the real problem with you and I is not really at the point of our words, but it's our relationship with God. You don't have a relationship with God. Your heart is still out of control. You're still living your own life. You say what you want to say because you are the boss. And you see, that's the very idea of becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian, firstly, reminds me that I need to be forgiven by God. I need to be changed by God. I need a new life from God. And God can give me all those things. But you see, we are told, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I'm not saying to you here this morning, I'm wrapping you over the knuckles because you've got a dirty tongue. You know, my mother also, sorry to refer to her, you know, if we swore, I don't actually remember swearing as a child, but I did. She used to make us eat soap because she washed our mouths out. Now, I mean, you know, if you eat soap, you know, you're not going to swear again, boy, because you. But you know, my mother, that's the way that they cured it. That's the way they washed it. What my mother was doing to me was she was trying to clean me up because she associated soap, and she always used to choose sunlight soap. Terrible stuff to even touch. And to smell, but to eat it, is terrible. But that's what you had. You knew sunlight soap was on the way. And the Lord says to you this morning and says to me, what's the condition of your heart? Now I'm going to tell you something else. There's another verse in the Bible that says this, is that one day you will be judged by your words. It's a strange way of putting it. You will be judged by your words. You see, you will be judged by the way that you speak. And you say to yourself, well, how can that be possible? How can God judge me by my words? Well, the reason why he judges you by your words is because the Bible's kind of speaking in a coded way. It's actually saying that one day you're going to answer for every idle word you've spoken. So will I. And the reason why the Bible targets our words is because it's touching something that we can all identify with. We can all identify with. Sorry, I realize I'm gone over time. Are you listening to me still? Like you're not falling. If you fall asleep, then I'll stop. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep going. But you see, the Bible says you will be judged by your words. And you will give an account of every idle word. And the reason why it does that is because your words will reveal the real condition of your life. So I want to speak to you about that this morning. And really, what I really want to say to you, is I'm not asking you to sort of become a goody two-shoes type of thing. And now please speak politely. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Sort out your heart with God. Because until you've done that, your tongue is always going to be unfit. That verse, by the way, I was just trying to look for it. When I quote verses, I've got to be careful. It's from Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. It says, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. So you see, wisdom is very good for us because it's not telling us that we've got to try and work our way to heaven. But it's trying to show us, because I don't know about you, but you know, I can't control my tongue. I really can't, unless I hand it over to God. And I say, Lord, you are Lord of my life. And so I'm doing it for you. Please clean me up. Give me your Holy Spirit so that I can live the new life which you have for me. Will you remember that? And I trust that God will challenge you from this so that as you think of your words, you will remember your need for the Lord. Okay.